Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are already on step four of the Connect Method. I cannot believe it. I hope that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know mine was full of love and lots of food and laughter. So I feel complete gratitude for such a beautiful holiday. And I'm grateful that you're all here with me. As always, let's start our day by being distraction proof. So make sure to have all those other tabs closed out. Make sure that your phone is out of sight, because as you invest this 1 hour into yourself, it is going to magnify all of your other relationships and your connections with others. So trust me, it is worth it to become distraction proof. Now, before we get into it, I'd love to go around and see if a few people want to share about some takeaways from last week and how your week went after talking about nailing down your information. Any takers who would like to volunteer?
I'll go, Renee.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Jackie.
I think that a couple of things that popped out of me is helping to build confidence in this Connect method. I think that's where I see a lot of people in my coaching that they lack confidence. And I think that's what you're teaching us here, nailing down, the nail down information, which is really good, helps build in that. The confidence and all the things you taught us last week, Renee. So thank you for coaching us. And I just want to bring that word, confidence. Coaching is a transference of confidence as coaches. Jason Friend, which is the speaker's coach for Ziegler, he said that transference is conviction. And so all these things you brought to this last night, the credibility and the confidence and the competence and all that, I think that's what popped out to me.
Great. I love that. And yes, it all does boil down to confidence. Because when we invoke confidence within us to start a conversation, to let a person know that we're really inspired by them, that's when the connections are made. See, and connection, confidence doesn't come from being perfect. Confidence doesn't come from any of those things. But when we nail down our information and we gather these tools, we allow ourselves to find that confidence. Because now we're like, okay, I'm not just being thrown out to the wolves here. I have some of these tools in my toolkit. And that's what helps us to get to that level of confidence, which is our foundation. So, as I said last week, it's almost like this is step zero, right? Gather the tools that help me feel confident to then step forward. And even if I stumble on my words as I introduce myself, or even if I go off on a little bit of a tangent, it's okay because I have the confidence to know, you know what? I have this information to share with this person. And this is going to start our initial conversation and the connection. Beautiful, Jackie. I'm so happy to hear that. And the best way that we can start to utilize the Connect method is by teaching it to others, right? That is the way to make it work. Everything starts to make sense when we teach it to others. I do this all the time. Every time I've sat in on a training, or I watched a video, I learned something from someone, the first thing I do is either call up my mother and I talk to her about it as if I am the expert, or I talk to my husband about it. And I realize that by me verbalizing, we talked last week, we're going to talk again today about the power of verbalizing. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, wow, I do understand this, besides just it being stuck in my brain, right? So, anybody else, would you like to share something about an insight from last week, or it could be any information that we've shared thus far in our Connect method, or even just if there's something about Thanksgiving that you want to talk about? Yes, Catherine.
Yeah, I had the confidence to go back into the doctor's office to try to still receive an overpayment refund. I just went in person instead of calling, and she was kind of the girl was kind of surprised that I was back, but you know, she thought I was just there Thursday, and I said, no, that was a holiday. I was there last Monday, so I stopped in again just to show my face and tell her, you know, that I'm interested in still following up with that in
Great.
person instead of on the phone, because it's definitely more effective. And I gave her a compliment on the way out.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm so proud of you. We don't realize sometimes until we're in the moment how powerful that in-person connection is. And even if it's just for that other person to be able to feel our energy or see our facial expressions, it gives that next level of connection. So, whoo-hoo, good job. Step four of the connect method, next level storytelling. Next level storytelling. Human beings are storytellers and story seekers. So tell your story. Now, this is the next step after we nail down our information, because once you nail down your information, you know who you're speaking to, you'll know what stories to use. So let's stop here for a moment. When we take the time to gather information about that person or the people or the event that we're going to, now we have insight. We have knowledge, information about who we're speaking to. And knowing who we're speaking to is one of the most important questions that we want to ask ourselves before we start telling stories, right? Because some stories, as we're going to see here, can be used all the time for everyone. But other stories are going to be a bit more specialized. Think about it this way. When I was a performing artist and I was dancing all the time, and I was immersed in that world of the performing arts, I gathered so many stories about being on stage and all the mishaps and the things that happened. So when I would go to speak to a group of young aspiring artists, you better believe I had stories up to wazoo that I could share with them, because they spoke my language. And if I said I was on stage doing a pirouette and I fell on the ground, they know what I'm talking about because they know what a pirouette is. Pirouette is a turn. But if I'm going to speak to a group of engineers, I'm probably not going to use a story about me doing a pirouette on stage and falling, because they're going to think to themselves, what is that? And what is she talking about? So it's important that we know who we are sharing our stories with. Some of our stories in our lives can be used for everyone, anywhere, at any time. Other stories, perhaps if we're speaking to a very specific audience, we may use some more specialized stories. Shark Tank. Who knows this, the show Shark Tank? I love it. Where people come forward and they pitch their products. Well, this is research from the show. There was a study done on the Shark Tank show, and it found that for innovative products and services to make it to market, engaging and deliberate storytelling must be enacted by the entrepreneurs to capture the interest and resources of the investors, of the sharks. In other words, those products and those pitches that were the most successful had powerful stories attached to them. Powerful stories. And another study done looked at like 500 pitches from Shark Tank. And the most successful ones are the ones that emotionally connected with the sharks, shared a story and not just statistics. This is super important to remember as storytellers. Statistics are important. As you can see here, as I'm teaching this group coaching, I always share some statistics, research, but I also share stories with you to bring it home, to connect with you. If this resonates, I want you to write, oh yes, in the chat. That song's still in my head. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Beautiful. So we want to use storytelling alongside those tactics and those statistics that we may use. The purpose of next level storytelling is to create an emotional connection. This is one of my favorite quotes. This is a quote that represents the values of my company. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Maya Angelou said that, and oh, that resonates with me so deeply. That is why I do what I do. That is why I love connecting with people. That's why I'm teaching you how to connect, because at the end of the day, no matter how smart you are, how successful your KPIs are, and your company is doing, all that will be forgotten, but those people whose lives you touched will never forget how you made them feel. And this is why we're all here. Oh, if that feels good, say yeah, baby. Unmute yourself. Say yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
We want to make people feel good. We want to connect with them. Great brands and great businesses have to be great storytellers. We have to tell authentic, emotive, and compelling stories because we're building relationships with people, and every great relationship has to be built on trust. And this is the Apple Store chief who said that. Okay? Storytelling. Oh, it's one of the greatest skills that we can possess. So how do we find our stories? How do we find our stories? So the first story that I want you all to start to think about for yourself, think of this as the groundwork, the foundational story, your origin story. Who are you? Right? Who are you? Remember we talked about last week about the what, why, how, right? The three levels deep questions. What you do, why do you do it, and how does this make an impact? Going three levels deep. Well, we want to think about that for ourselves in our origin story. Like when someone says, you know, who are you? What do you do? Where do you come from? Think about this first origin story as the story that represents what helped shape you into the person you are. What helped make you into the person you are? There's that what again. So think about this from the angle of where you grew up, your family dynamics, your early interests, whatever those things would be that made you into who you are. That's what we want to start to craft as our origin story. So here's what we do. We first make a list of life stories that impacted us. We all have them, whether from our childhood, teens, and you can even separate them into three different categories. Like when you were a young child, maybe when you were a teen, and then when you got into your adult life. Just start to make a list. Think of brainstorming stories that made a big impact in your life. Then once you get those stories down on paper, I want you to start to look at storytelling from this sense of where you were at the time of that story, what you were thinking, and what you were feeling. See, human beings connect through our shared experiences. And as human beings, we all, even though we're from different parts of the world, we're from different backgrounds and cultures, our brains work the same. So we often think the same way, maybe in different circumstances, but we all think, we have thoughts, and we have the same emotions. We cry, we laugh, we feel happy, sad, frustrated, anxious. So when you think of these stories, this is really important. I want you to really identify where you were, what you were thinking at that time of that story, and what you were feeling. This is how we craft really interesting, compelling stories. See, it's easy to say, I walked to the store and I went to get milk, and then all of a sudden my aunt jumped out from Italy and she surprised me. Okay. Or you could say, I was walking to the store to get milk and I was overwhelmed in my mind. I had so much to do that day. I was thinking about work. I was starting to feel anxious. And all of a sudden, my aunt from Italy jumped out of the bush and I screamed aloud. And I thought to myself, what is happening? How is she here right now? And I looked at her and I said, are you kidding me? Now, which one of the versions of those stories, I'm going to stop the share really quick. Which version feels better to listen to, or were you able to connect with better? Feel free to unmute yourself.
The second one.
The second one.
More detail in it.
Yep. Yeah. And Anna, why do you think that is? Like, what made you connect with that? And of course, that was a simple, quick story that I just took off the top of my head. But Anna, what made you connect with that better?
Your emotions into it, your aliveness, you know, you put life behind it, your smile, your expression, and, you know, your tone of voice, your all being.
Great. And Larry, what were you saying?
A more detailed explanation helped understand, where the first version, you were very quick, and you just, all of a sudden, she jumped out in front of me. The second one was more, I guess, more dramatized is the word I want to use in the explanation.
And here's what I want you to understand. When we lean into what we were thinking, what we were feeling, what we are doing is we are bringing you into the story with us, as opposed to just telling you. I could tell you a story from me being here and you being there, but I want to bring you into the story, just like in a movie. Think about a movie. Now, when a movie, the credits roll in the beginning and the movie begins, it's a scene. And all of a sudden, it's dark at night, and there's a gentleman running after another gentleman, and one person has an umbrella, and it's pouring, and we're thinking, what's going on? Right? And all of a sudden, we're in the story. What doesn't usually happen when we see a really great movie is the credits roll, the opening scene comes up, and there's a person who says, you're going to watch a movie. And what you're going to see is one gentleman running after the other, and that second gentleman's going to have an umbrella because it's pouring out. And what you're going to realize, no, that doesn't happen. They just bring us into the story with them. Right? Because we're witnessing their actions. Oftentimes we're hearing their thoughts. We're understanding their location. So to be powerful storytellers and to connect on a genuine level, we want to start to bring people into the story with us, so our story becomes their story. See, the most powerful storytellers, they're able to connect with you, because as they're telling the story, you're picturing yourself there. That's what happens to us. And that's why storytelling is such a powerful technique. Research shows this time and time again. And I'm going to show you a video in 1 second to solidify this. All right, let's go back to our share. So You're going to make a list of the life stories that have made an impact on you. You're going to focus on where you were, what you were thinking, and what you were feeling. And then after you write down this story and you identify those three top things, then I want you to trim out those other excess details. Sometimes when we start to tell a story, we go off on so many tangents and we give details that don't add to our point. They don't add to what we want to share within that story. Taking the story I shared, as I was walking to the store to go get the milk, I was inundated with so many thoughts because I was in pure overwhelm. I knew how much I had to do today. And as I was walking, I realized that this concrete was really broken up. I wonder why it was broken up. I mean, it looked really marbly. And I was thinking, I hope somebody doesn't trip. And then as I was looking at the concrete, do you see those excess details? The concrete doesn't matter. I want to tell you about how I'm feeling overwhelmed. I want to tell you that I just need to get to that store and get home because I have work to do. So start to trim out those other excess details. Then what you're going to do is you're going to voice memo yourself. You can do it on the voice memo app of your phone. I think that's the best place to do it. And then what you can do, there's a really great app called Rev.com. And what it does is it transcribes your voice memo into written word. And this is really great because what I want you to do is start to collect these stories. Think of it like a Dropbox. If you use Dropbox or Google Docs, have a place where you collect all of these stories so you have them to use. And you always have an abundance, a toolkit of stories that you can use to share. And depending on who you're speaking to and where you're speaking, you can pull those stories out to have in your back pocket to connect with others. So again, think of those stories in your life that have made an impact. Those life stories when you were a child, that thing that happened that just you feel helped to shape you into who you've become. Really lean into where you were at the time, what you were thinking and what you were feeling. Then speak about it. And it doesn't have to be perfect, right? It doesn't have to be, this is still a rough draft. You speaking about the story, and then you can, this is just an option. You can get it transcribed through Rev.com. And then once you get it transcribed, you can always, again, keep tightening up the story, but at least you have it there now and you can collect it in one area, like your Google Docs or your Dropbox. Does this make sense? If this makes sense, say yes. If you have a question, write it in the chat.
Yes.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Awesome. Woo. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to stop this share for a second. And I want you to just listen to this quick video that talks about what happens to our brains when we listen to stories and why they are so, so important. Okay. So let's first make sure that everyone can hear this. Can you hear that? Oh,
listening to
it. Oh, wait, you know what? I
you want me to share it?
Yes, Josiah. I forgot we did that. I'm not going to share it. Josiah is because his sound is better.
Listening to a good story lights up the same part of your brain as does pleasure. Stories excite neurons that make dopamine. Yes, dopamine. Stories stimulate the creation of oxytocin, a hormone known as the love drug. It enhances feelings of trust, empathy, and generosity. Exactly what you'd want at the start of a job interview, sales presentation, keynote speech, team meeting, address of the nation, or company-wide presentation. From the beginning of time, stories are how we have passed on our values, made sense of the world, and affected change. Today, it's how we influence our customers, our teams, and our audiences. And it's how we get better results.
awesome. So I thought that was a great short snippet to just really solidify why storytelling is so impactful. It's part of our DNA. We have been telling stories since the dawn of time. So what better way to create connection points than through story? All right, I'm going to continue on and I'm going to share with you, I'm going to give you an example of an origin story of mine. If I wanted to explain to someone who I am and we've met for the first time, for me, it would be important to touch upon these things, my close-knit family, my strong values, and how I love to sing and dance since a little girl. And I may share a story that goes like this. Many years ago, I was sitting in my childhood bedroom in New Jersey at home with my Italian-American family, my mom, my dad, my grandmother, and my brother, and I was crying in my room by myself. My father walked in and he said, "What's the matter, sweetie?" And as he said that, I continued to break down. At this point in my life, I was asked to be the lead singer of this young girl group called Just Girls. And we just had our first rehearsal. At that rehearsal, the director explained that he wanted to change my look. He wanted me to appear older and more mature. And he also wanted to change the sound of my voice to sound less polished. I came home from that rehearsal and I felt frustrated, defeated, and sad. And at that moment, when my father walked in and asked me what the matter was, I explained that to him. And in typical dad fashion, he gave me a hug and he said, "In this life, people will try to change you. They'll try to knock you down, but you always stay true to yourself." And at that moment, the rest of my family walked in and my father said, "If you don't want to continue on with this, you don't have to." And at that moment, I felt such peace and comfort knowing that I had the support of my family and knowing that I could follow my heart. I realize now that that moment with my family helped to shape who I have become. And those four words, "stay true to yourself," have become my mantra in life. From being a professional performer for decades, to becoming a writer, to becoming an entrepreneur, helping other people to connect with people in a genuine way, the way I have. So I'm going to stop the share. Now, what did you notice about that story? What are some things that you recognized that we just talked about?
Well, there was emotion. You were crying in your room. And then there was encouragement from your father. Yeah, that's a couple things popped out at me, Renee.
Right. Anna, did you raise your hand?
I didn't, but it was very moving because I guess we can all relate to those kind of emotions. I remember crying in my room for other reasons, maybe when my parents were fighting, when I heard a story about, you know, the world not being what it was supposed to be, animals being hurt, friends that hurt me, you know, whatever, you know, and yeah, so it was a very personal story and of course, therein there is a beautiful aspect, the support of your family. And I guess we can relate to that in different ways, but, you know, positive or negative, you know, or in between. But yeah, it's a true life story.
Yeah. And Anna, I love what you said. You said a few things which are so important that I want to drive home and why I told that story. You said it was relatable. I pictured, I had times crying in my room. Look, Anna put herself in my story. We connected through the emotions that I felt. And what I shared with you in that story was what I was thinking, right? My location, I'm in my bedroom. Now, what I could have done, and I'm going to get to you in 1 second, Michelle, promise. What I could have done, and what many, I believe, inexperienced storytellers do, they just say, I could have just said, I grew up Italian American. I lived in New Jersey, and my mom, dad, and grandmother lived with me. And I always liked to sing and dance since I was little. Now, that's fine. That's fine. But remember, we're in the business of creating genuine connections with people to lead to limitless opportunities in our lives and our businesses. So we want to go deeper, just like in nailing down information. We want to take it deeper, three levels deep. The same holds true in how we're connecting. So can you feel that difference between the story I told and then just being like, and I'm from New Jersey. I love to sing and dance and I love people. Right? Big difference. Yes, Michelle, what did you want to say, my dear?
You were very transparent, very short, simple story, and you didn't use a lot of extra details, but you used emotions, and especially with what happened at the rehearsal versus what your dad said, just huge connection to draw us in.
Great. And I love that you saw that. There weren't excess details, right? I was in my room. I was crying. You learned in that short story that I grew up in New Jersey. I lived with my mom, dad, my grandmother, and my brother. Obviously, I like to sing and dance. I was asked to be a lead singer. You got the main points. But what was more important is you connected with me through the detail of my emotions and my thoughts. Good? Makes sense? Great. Yes, Catherine.
It was personal and powerful, and it was a life true story. So that's what I liked.
Awesome. And that's what we want. And I want to make this really clear. Any stories that we are going to tell must be personal and real. We are not in the business of fabricating stories, putting something together because we think it sounds good and it'll make us connect with that person. No, no. We are authentic, my friends. Master communicators are nothing but authentic. So make sure that all these stories are actual stories. Michelle, you asked how long of a story Rev will transcript. I believe there's not a limit. So yeah, definitely check that out. All right, let's get back to it. All right, so your second story. Now, we are going to have tons of stories. There are endless amounts of stories that we have in our life. I'm just touching upon three starter stories that I would love for you to have in your back pocket, because these are stories that you can always use that people want to know about when they're trying to get to know you. So the second story is your career path, your business, what you do, how you got there, why you chose it, right? And we can actually flip those, right? To go back into the what, why, how process, what you do, why you chose it, and how you got there. So thinking of a moment in time, again, when you realized you wanted to be a coach, or you realized you wanted to help people with finances, think of those stories, same practice as before. Brainstorm, think of stories, moments that happened that really activated that start to your career path, to your business. And you want to write those down, collect them in one area. Story three, a defining moment story. Think of a powerful moment in your life. None of these stories, by the way, please don't think that these have to be the most out of the world stories. You are the only person to climb Mount Everest on a Tuesday in January. No, sometimes the most relatable stories are the ones that are the most everyday stories. Remember, we are people. We all have to get up and we have to pay our bills and do those things that make life go round. So don't think that defining moment means it has to be the craziest thing ever that happened. That's not the case. Just think of this as a pivotal moment, a powerful moment in your life, what you learned from it, how it's helped you to impact others. I'll give you an example. At the end of 2019, I was closing my most recent Broadway show, Pretty Woman the Musical. And at this point in time, my dad had been diagnosed with cancer, and I wanted him to be able to see the one-woman show that I wrote, which was about him, my mother, and my grandmother. He didn't get to see it because I only performed it when in Los Angeles. So when Pretty Woman closed, I said, I'm going to do this show in New York. And I had to find a date to do that show, but the only date available was on a Jewish holiday on a Sunday at 9:30 at night in New York City. Everybody that I spoke to said, Renee, there's no way you're going to get people to come to your show that night. You should wait till the spring. And I listened to everyone's opinions, and I sat with myself and I said, Renee, what do you want to do? And my gut instincts, my heart was telling me that I needed to do the show on that night at 9:30 on a Sunday on a Jewish holiday in New York City. I didn't know why, but my gut was telling me that I needed to. And I decided to put on headphones and not listen to anyone else's opinion. And I did my show that night. Not only did I sell that show out, but my father sat in the front row, smiling ear to ear as he watched me sing about him. And just 2 months later, my father passed away. And that was the moment in my life where I realized I would never move about my life without listening to my gut instincts again. And understanding that listening to my gut instincts is my guide has helped not only me in my life, but helped me to help my clients and my loved ones to remind them to listen to their gut. That would be a defining moment story. And this has helped me now as a connection expert to help my clients to communicate with themselves, and to listen to their gut. So some more stories that just think to yourself, you're always going to want to gather. Funny stories. Nothing connects us better than humor. When silly things happen to us, we love to connect through that because we've all fallen down the stairs. We've all spit our food out. We've had these funny moments. So gather those stories. Start to gather them in your file, in your Google Docs that has stories to connect. Stories to connect and have your list. Here are my funny stories. Here are my client stories, stories about clients I've worked with, and fun fact stories. These are those little fun facts that people don't know about us. Okay, fun fact. I cannot go to sleep unless all of my doors are shut. My closet door can't be opened even a little bit. My bedroom door can't be opened. It has to be shut in order for me to sleep well. Right? Those fun fact stories are great. They're a great connection point. It takes the pressure off in a conversation. It breaks the ice. So as you gather these stories in your Google Doc or your Dropbox that says stories to connect, have one column or one page be your origin stories. Have the next page be your career path stories. Another page, your defining moment stories. Another page for funny stories, client stories, fun fact stories. And this is what I do, my friends. I have all of these stories that I refer to that I can pull on when I'm going to speak and meet people at an event to network. When I'm having a first conversation with a potential business partner, I have these stories that I can draw on. So how do we share these stories now? Practice, right? Our practice makes progress. Verbalize these stories aloud. Just as we talked about last week, doing it through voice memo. Maybe bring your pet in your room and practice sharing that story with your pet or your child. Use your video camera and talk to the video camera as if it's someone you're connecting with. Then you can listen back, cut out those parts, right? Trim the fat of parts that don't resonate and record. I did this. I explained this all in one step. But we want to do this by recording. If you want to take that a step back and first just speak it aloud, I do this as well. Sometimes before I even record it, I just verbalize it for myself. And then that's what allows me to cut out those parts that don't resonate. And then I'll record myself and hear back if what I've cut out and what I'm sharing feels good. Does that make sense? If that makes sense, say, oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
So then the next step, once you start to feel comfortable, you've verbalized the story, now share it. The only way to get better is to take imperfect action and do it. Share your story with family and friends. First, start with those people that you're most comfortable with. Your mom, your dad, your significant other. And say, I just want to share this story with you. I'd love for you just to listen and give me some feedback. Share with your community through email or texts. If you have a CRM, you have a list of email subscribers, share that story through email and share on social media. There's nothing better to help us practice than sharing it. That's why we have our Facebook group, right? We can use that Facebook group to say, I want to, this is my first time sharing this story. I'd love to have your feedback. So if you can comment, I'd really appreciate it. We want to share. And this is how we get better at telling our stories, at knowing what parts really helped us connect the best. So let's recap. Step four, next level storytelling. Stories create an emotional connection. We want to have our origin story that talks about what helped shape us into who we are today. Our career business story. If we're entrepreneurs, business owners, how did you start your business? Even if you're not a business owner, let's just talk about why you chose the career path you're in. A defining moment story, just like I shared with you about following my gut. Then we have all those other stories, right? Our funny stories. Humor is the best way to connect us. Client stories. Have those stories where you helped a client get from A to Z. And then those fun fact stories. So your homework is to make a list of those life stories and those business stories. Let's start with life stories, but you can take this further and do this for your business stories and your defining moment stories. Make a list of those stories that made an impact on you. Trust me, now that you start thinking about this, these ideas will come to you in the shower, all over the place. That's why it's important that you gather all those stories in one place. You could just go type it. Once you think of it, type it in your Google Doc to remind you. Oh yeah, I remember that time that thing happened. As you think of these stories, remember, focus on where you were, what you were thinking, and what you were feeling, and then trim out all of those other excess details. Remember the concrete? I don't need to tell you about the concrete and how it was broken. Then voice memo about your life story on the voice memo application in your phone. And then if you like, you don't have to, but it's an option. You can get that transcribed through rev.com. Then collect those written stories in one place, like Google Doc, Dropbox, whatever works for you. verbalize your story aloud, right? Verbalize, which you've already kind of done it once as a first draft when you're doing it in your voice memo before you get it transcribed. But now once you feel more solidified in this story, verbalize it. Verbalize it just in a room by yourself or your pet. Doesn't matter. However you need to get it out, and then cut out those parts that don't resonate. And then record yourself as if sharing your story, whether on your video camera or on the voice memo app again. As you can see, this is a process, right? This is a process. We record ourselves, we hear back, we change some things, we trim the excess details, and then we share. By sharing it, this is what helps us really get clear on our stories. Share with friends and family, share through your emails and texts, and share on social media. This is a great place to use our Facebook group and ask for feedback. So next week, we are going into step 5, energize through movement. Movement transforms stagnant energy into fuel for us to be able to focus and connect. Remember to join us. This our Facebook group. Josiah is going to put the link in the chat. So make sure you utilize that Facebook group for what it was created to be, a place for you to practice, get comfortable sharing your stories. I'm going to stop the share, and the floor is open for questions. Any questions, any confusion on anything that we touched upon today with storytelling?
I just like to make a comment, Renee. This is so powerful. And when I realized how powerful storytelling is, so this is just a simple little thing. When I say horse, what does everybody see? What did you see, Renee?
I saw a brown horse.
Ooh, what was the setting?
Ooh, the brown horse, he was amongst his hay that he was about to nibble on.
Who else wants to share about their horse they saw?
I saw a black horse.
It was black?
Yeah. I saw green with a fence behind it.
What color was that fence?
It was a wooden fence, and it was brown.
Beautiful. Anybody else? Okay, Michelle.
I saw a horse in a green pasture. Ooh. Racehorse.
Oh, I'm getting on him and
going.
Man, that's a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah.
Here's my point. Nobody saw H-O-R-S-E.
Yeah.
And that's what Renee's teaching us. Beautiful. I love stories. And
yes.
You can't have too many in your toolbox.
That's it. Let me tell you, you want to be a master communicator, a master connector. Story is the pathway. Story is the pathway. This is what we are bred to do. And to listen to as human beings, storytelling. So the better and more comfortable you get with this, whew, I can assure you, you are going to bring people into your environment, into your world faster than you can imagine. And as I said, it's not the most extraordinary story wins. It's the story that connects. Wins. And we connect. Yes, sometimes it is us being exceptional, but we don't want to just be exceptional. We want to be exceptional, relatable, and real. You know, many of you have heard me speak on stage, and the story that I tell a lot is me auditioning for the Jersey Boys movie. Now, that's something that not everybody experiences. Many of you are not actors. Many people in their lifetime won't have the chance to audition for a major motion picture. That is pretty exceptional.
Unique.
But what's relatable to it are the feelings and the rejection that I felt within there. Having to fight to get an opportunity. That's something we all understand, right? Being told, I'm not good enough. Renee, you're too short. You look too Italian. You're too this. Facing all of that criticism, we can all understand that. And that's why that story for me is what I choose to use a lot of times when I speak on stage, because remember, I'm speaking about the power of connection and communication. And in that story, what I did was I spoke up. I communicated my desire and I gained an opportunity for myself. And that's something we can all understand, is missing out on opportunities, sometimes being afraid to speak up. Do you see where I'm going with this? So it's not just about being the, you know, the astronaut on the moon. Thank you, Mr. Jackie. It's about sharing your story, but sharing it from a place of helping us understand what you were thinking, what you were feeling, where you were, so we can connect. Any other questions, thoughts? Okay. Does this feel good to you? Does this feel like, okay, I'm going to start stepping into this and taking imperfect action to collect my stories? If so, write yes in the chat. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. Awesome. So great. Anna, did you have a question?
Well, I think Catherine had her hand up. I can speak after.
Oh, perfect. Catherine, you're first.
Oh, about the cutting out the parts that don't resonate. Do I go about verbalizing it aloud first and then try to just redo that after I see that what doesn't belong or what shouldn't? How do I go about cutting out the parts? Do I do it paper first or verbalize next?
That's a great, great question. So once you have your idea, right, you think of the story. Again, let's utilize the story of going to the store and getting milk and my cousin jumps out. And really the purpose of that story is to understand that sometimes the best times in our life are the surprising moments, the ones that catch us off guard, right? So once you get that story and you write it down for yourself, okay, the story about you know, going to the store to get milk, then I would put pen to paper first. Put pen to paper and just write down your thoughts, because writing is what activates more parts of the brain. So that's a great way to do a first rough draft. And then once you've gotten it down on paper, then you can verbalize aloud. And that's what allows you to hear back. Oh, I don't need to talk about the concrete. I don't need to talk about the color of my jacket. I don't need that. That's all excess details. And then what also helps you to trim out those excess details is having that accountability, sharing it with someone else who you trust to say, you know what, Catherine, we actually don't need all of those details. So I would do the writing first, and I would really utilize when we're starting to craft these stories before we put it in the Google Doc. As I said, I really invite you to put pen to paper. Step one, once you think of it, because again, that's what's going to activate your brain. Does that help, Catherine?
Yes, great. Thank you.
You're welcome, Anna.
Oh, yes. So I was just thinking how powerful, you know, the storytelling is in my life story. I was just connected with how values, how in my life, in my experience, values were transmitted or passed on by my mom sitting at dinner with my brother, telling stories about her childhood, her experiences, and they were sometimes, you know, tragic. My mom grew up during World War II in Italy when the Nazis' occupation was taking place. So sometimes, you know, we as kids were like all eyes on and listening, you know, to these sometimes terrifying stories, you know, from Nazis walking through their bedroom at night, you know, inspecting the houses and so forth. So looking for partisans, you know, I mean, but mostly what I wanted to say is that it was also about, from this story, she would extrapolate, you know, the values that eventually both my brother and I inherited, which was, you know, respect for each other, love for each other, you know, love for family, love for your fellow human, you know. So anyways, I think what I'm saying is that traditions get passed on through stories, but also family values, humanity values, you know, it's so important. And I think also that, you know, as parents, we're able to do that, you know. And I remember my daughter went to the Waldorf school, you know, the Steiner inspired school, and stories had such a big place in their morning lessons. There was always a story since she was 2.5 years old. So anyway, just some thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing that. And that's such a beautiful point. If we want to educate, if we want to inspire, if we want to move people to take action, story is the way to do it. Oh, it's so magical how story allows us to do that, especially with children. Yeah. Maybe you don't want to listen to their parents. Don't tell me I need to pick up after myself. If you share a story about how when you started to pick up after yourself as a young child, you start to understand how that helped your brain to be more clear. And the more you did that, the better you thought. And you became this powerful business leader because of the power of your mind. But it all started because you learned that by picking up after yourself, that creates simplicity and organization in your life that allows your brain to work better. So much better than just saying, pick up after yourself, right?
Sure.
So thank you for sharing that, Anna, and I'm just so excited for you all to start to utilize these stories and to start to pull the stories from your life, because when we haven't thought about story in this way, we kind of lock those things away from our lives. But now it's time to pull those out, extrapolate them from your subconscious mind, and think about these moments in our life that, wow, helped to shape who we are, helped us to learn a thing or two, helped create a pivotal moment in our lives. So beautiful work. Thank you all for being here. I'm so grateful for you all. And if, as always, if you have any questions, email me, Renee@ReneeMarino.com. Otherwise, I will see you back here next week, same time, same place. And I can't wait to hear your takeaways and how this week of thinking about storytelling goes. Thank you, everybody.